In a 2017 study of Australia's firehawks, researchers collected first-hand accounts of black kites, whistling kites, and brown falcons intentionally spreading fires. It's thought that setting a new area ablaze allows these firehawks to feed in a space with fewer rival predators. It's possible that humans might even have learned how to use fire long ago by watching these birds carrying burning embers. Today, fire ecologists and land managers are learning to account for firehawks in sustainable wildfire management. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Evaluia, 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 Evaluia.
And welcome to the Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy, here at the Stop Shopping Church in New York City. Global loneliness. Children, in the Church of Stop Shopping, we've made a discovery, the human law of climate change. Goes like this. The greater the distance that individual human beings are from one another, the more CO2 and methane we put into the air. Did you follow that? There's a direct relationship between each additional minute that we are separate from each other and every pound of greenhouse gases that is added to the atmosphere. Let me put it in the manner of a tabloid headline. Split us apart and we kill. Very lonely people make very big tornadoes. It happens like this. Secretary General Antonio Guterres solemnly addresses the General Assembly of the United Nations. What the hell, people? Come on, say hello. How about a hug? Do we need to get a dating service for this? It's not just that we are social animals, it's that we are deadly. When we are antisocial, we are downright deadly. We make wars. The basics of this apocalypse are clear. 8 billion people have fallen out of love, or put it this way, somebody or something has forced us out of the house of love. Don't you feel it? Let's do something about that, people. Prosperity of the gross national product, sort of prosperity, needs our loneliness. But the earth is saying, with its emphatic 200-mile-an-hour winds, love, love, love each other. Somebody get me an earth, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I lived in the tree.
And the birds sang.
Live in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I live in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I live in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I live in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I live in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I live in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I live in the forest. I live in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I live in the forest.
The birds sang.
I live in the tree.
Struggles for justice and equality, we find that there aren't often propitious moments for those struggles. We've always confronted waves of conservatism. And while we cannot create the conditions for the struggles in which we engage, we can bring our determination. We can bring our vision for a better future. It was Dr. King who said that we cannot capitulate to finite disappointments. And what we do is we confront those finite disappointments with infinite hope.
Dad. Oh, your father is a trumper, and Trump is on his horse following Custer to kill the life in the Holy Land. And life is watching. Life is watching. Crazy Horse is watching from up on the grassy land, watching Custer down there advance with his trumper clan back before the story started, back at Custer's first stand. Hey, Mom,
Where's Dad?
Sending missiles into Allah, losing his life in the storm. The whirling sand going blind. Keep firing, husband. Husband, you might be reborn. That's the story of Little Bighorn. We mourning mothers in black clouds. Katrina, Sandy, and the superstorms. Lahaina, Altadena, Hurricane Helene. Crazy Horse is here to fight with us. The American dream. Life is watching. Life is storming. Your guns are full of sand. Crazy Horse did it back before Custer's first stand. Hey, Mom! Where's Dad? He thinks the bad weather's a hoax. He doesn't see life is here watching with the camels and the goats and the flies and the trees, the children dying, rising in mother's eyes. All the life is watching from deep in the land. Amazed this is happening again and again. We start the story over, our tears say, yes, we can become like Crazy Horse, watching, releasing the power of the land. Life is Crazy Horse on the hill. On that hill, behind the hill, there's another Crazy Horse. Behind the hat hill, another one. Farther on, another and another. Life is watching. Life is watching. Witness on the crest of every hill, the Crazy Horses start their dance. It's Custer's last chance. Can we get back to where the story began? Back before Custer's first stand. Hey, Mom, where's Dad? Oh, your father is a trumper. And Trump follows Custer to die his death in the holy land where the gods were born to raise us to God's godly plan, where life began watching your father killing the land. Life is watching. Life is watching your father's advance. Where is our father? Where is your dad? Now we are watching from the life of the land. We want to stop that story and go where the story began, at Custer's first stand.
From the natural world, I'm Savitri D. India is famed for its step wells, multi-story subterranean structures built to provide access to groundwater, with steps and platforms descending from the street to the underground water. Thousands were built across the country near natural aquifers, mostly between the 11th and 18th centuries. The wells were abandoned under the rule of the British, who considered them unhygienic and prohibited their use. They deteriorated further in the late 20th century when people started to use them as a place to discard trash and construction debris. While many wells have disappeared or crumbled, there are more than 3,000 remaining step wells across India. Architect Kalpana Ramesh and her organization Project Rainwater are reviving the step wells as sustainable sources of water. 25 step wells in the southern city of Hyderabad are already back in use. Many were full of trash, and one took dozens of volunteers 18 months to clean up. India is facing the worst water crisis in its history. It is home to more than 1.4 billion people, nearly 18% of the world's population, but has only 4% of the planet's freshwater resources. More than 600 million Indians already face high to extreme water stress, and the country's water demand is projected to double by 2030. Erratic monsoon patterns, inadequate infrastructure, and the expansion of water-intensive crops mean India is heavily reliant on groundwater, consuming a quarter of the global total. Using data from the North American Breeding Bird Survey, new research found that about half of the 261 bird species analyzed across North America showed significant declines from 1987 to 2021. And a quarter showed accelerating declines. Hotspots of decline are in southern and warm parts of North America, and hotspots of accelerating decline are in the mid-Atlantic, Midwest, and California. They match patterns of agricultural intensity, including high cropland area, fertilizer use, or pesticide use. Overall, 122 species exhibit significant declines, of which 63 also show acceleration of decline. The study raises concerns for North American bird populations, and findings suggest that bird abundance decline is mostly accelerating, and spatial patterns indicate that agricultural intensity is the most likely driver of this trend. A horse's whinny is an unusually distinctive mix of sounds, including both high and low frequencies. Reporting in Current Biology, researchers demonstrate how horses produce high-frequency sounds that defy their large size while simultaneously producing lower tones. They whistle through their larynx while vibrating their vocal cords, as a human does while singing. Horses likely evolved these vocalizations to be able to convey multiple messages to one another at the same time. The whinny represents an unusual vocal phenomenon known as biphonation, in which a vocalization has two independent frequency components, low and high. Horses are the first large mammal species found to produce the laryngeal whistle, and the only animals known to do so simultaneously with vocal fold vibration. For the first time, researchers have observed and measured weak electrical discharges, known as coronae, on trees during thunderstorms. A new study describes the near-invisible sparkles appearing similarly on branches of several tree species, implying that thunderstorms may paint entire canopies with a scintillating blue glow, just too faintly for human eyes to see. Scientists have speculated about weak electrical discharges on plants during thunderstorms for almost a century, but have never observed or measured them in the wild until now, only inferring their existence from anomalies in the electric field in forests during storms. Coronae likely arise in great abundance, radiating from tens to hundreds of leaves on every treetop during a thunderstorm. With superhuman vision, we would see this swath of glow on the top of every tree during the thunderstorm, as if thousands of flashing fireflies had descended on the treetops. Animals inhabit fundamentally different sensory realities, even when they share the same habitat. Animals don't just see the world differently from one another. They experience time itself at dramatically different speeds. A new study considered 237 species across the animal kingdom, revealing that how fast an animal lives and moves strongly predicts how quickly it can visually process the world around it. Species with fast-paced ecologies, such as flying animals and pursuit predators, which chase fast, maneuverable prey, have much faster visual perception than slow-moving or sedentary species. To measure how quickly animals can process visual information, scientists use a standard metric called critical flicker fusion, which is the fastest rate at which a flickering light can be perceived as distinct rather than continuous. Humans typically perceive flicker up to around 60 hertz, effectively experiencing a slower moving world than some insects and birds, which can detect changes at more than 200 flashes per second. A landmark study led by evolutionary biologist Dr. James Dorey provides the most comprehensive count of bee species on Earth to date, broken down by continent and country, calculating there are between 24,705 and 26,164 bee species worldwide. Since 1960, scientists have been discovering and describing around 117 new bee species every year. The relatively steady pace scientists suggest that any slowdown in discovery is not because there are no new species to find, but rather because there aren't enough experts to describe them all. Researchers have found that all vertebrates evolved from a distant ancestor that had a single eye located at the top of its head. The study also reveals that the remnants of this so-called median eye have today become the pineal gland in our brains. This cyclops-like creature, which is our very distant relative, existed almost 600 million years ago. The small worm-like organism had adopted a sedentary lifestyle and fed by filtering plankton from seawater. Previously, this creature had some form of paired eyes like most other animals, but the increasingly calm lifestyle meant that the worm-like creature no longer needed paired eyes, and therefore that function was lost over the course of evolution. However, the animal kept a group of light-sensitive cells in the middle of its head. These cells developed into a small, primitive median eye that could keep track of night and day and sense what was up and down. Over the following millions of years, the creature once again began to live an active, swimming life, increasing its need for paired eyes. From parts of the small median eye, new image-forming eyes in pairs developed. The reason vertebrate eyes differ from so many other animals is because the film of the eyes, the retina, developed from the brain, whereas the eyes of insects and squid originate in the skin on the sides of the head. The pineal gland is a light-sensitive organ in the vertebrate brain. It produces the hormone melatonin, which helps regulate the body's circadian rhythm. So human sleep is regulated by light, an adaptation from a cyclopean eye of a distant ancestor 600 million years ago. And now, the sounds of extinction. War. As many as 3 million people have been displaced in Iran during the first 2 weeks of Israel and the U.S.'s attack on the nation. As of March 13, 2026, the U.S. and Israeli forces have reportedly struck over 15,000 targets across Iran since the conflict began on February 28th. Tehran's governor reported that at least 10,000 residential homes were damaged or completely destroyed. 600,000 Lebanese people have been forced from their homes in the same time frame by bombing and threats of bombing from neighboring Israel. In Gaza, more than 1.5 million people have been displaced, lacking access to sufficient shelter, food, life-saving medical services, clean water, education, and livelihoods. 80% of buildings in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed by Israeli bombs. The security situation in the Gaza Strip remains unstable at best, with humanitarian partners on high alert amid the regional escalation of conflict. Multiple airstrikes, shelling, and gunfire resulting in casualties have been reported across the Gaza Strip, and all crossings into Gaza, except for Kerem Shalom, remain closed. This weekend, a sandstorm swept across Gaza, slamming tents and other makeshift shelters. And hear the sound of Israeli and U.S. bombs.
Reverend Billy, again here, ready to say thank you and ready to say goodbye. Goodbye for now. Hope it's not goodbye forever. We got a lot of bombs dropping. God knows what's in store. I'd like to say that our community, the Church of Stop Shopping and the Gospel Choir, we will be holding forth with a live performance at the Quaker Meeting House Sunday, the 29th of this month in downtown New York. Stand by. Not so sure we have our live stream set up yet, but if we do, we'll announce it next week. Salvatore D with news from the natural world, our intrepid reporter about creation, and Jason Candler, our editor. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Nina Simone, Sinner Man, Umbutu, the wonderful a cappella singers. Arthur Penn's Little Big Man loaned us the sounds of Indian, well, probably Italian actors in dark face paint screaming on their horses surrounding the hapless, handsome settlers. The Kawaio bird, now extinct these many years, but you sang for us, and Angela Davis, our teacher. Thank you so much for continuing to bring your wisdom to us. We are trying to be peaceful. We're trying to be forceful. We're trying to help each other. We're trying to end this war, and we will do it with the help of teachers like Angela Davis. I'd like to ask you for money now. This Earth Riot Radio, which comes to you every week, we bring in lots of music. We bring in lots of sources from all over the place. Teachers, sounds, Ojibwe drumming almost every week. We need your help now. The donate button that beckons to you is at revbilly.com, and that's the church website, the Earth Church, the Church of Stop Shopping. We have a website, revbilly.com, R-E-V Victor, revbilly, B-I-L-L-Y, revbilly.com. Please help us. Any amount of assistance is gratefully, gratefully accepted. And we'll keep singing for you, preaching to you, and bringing in the plants and animals will be singing to you too. This is Reverend Billy. Have a wild week, a safe week, a good week. Earth-a-lu-yah.
CJ.